It's the Big Baseball Podcast with Kyle and Drew Charters.
We're on the eve of the Big Ten season, at least for 8 of the 13 teams in the league as 4 series start on Friday, and that comes after 4 teams swept opponents last weekend. I'm Kyle Charters, Drew Charters here as well for the Big Baseball Podcast. All of that, plus Rob Cooper, the 6th-year Penn State head coach, his Nittany Lions, the surprise of the Big Ten, Drew, 13-3.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that is crazy. They won 15 games last year. 13 already this season on the eve of the Big Ten as it gets underway for the Nittany Lions this weekend. I mean, it's been a pretty impressive turnaround.
Absolutely. They could reach their win total from last year this weekend against Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's unreal. I'm excited to have Rob Cooper on, and we'll see how they're doing it.
The two surprises, I think, of the Big Ten, right, in that series?
Right. Oh,
Penn
absolutely.
State and Minnesota.
Yeah.
Surprises for different reasons, unfortunately. I'm intrigued by that series because it's like, on one hand, you feel like, okay, Penn State's turned a corner. Will they win 2 out of 3 in this series? Or is Minnesota a team that just got off to a slow start, has the talent, and then will beat a team that has struggled the last couple of years in Penn State and take 2 of 3? I really have no idea how to handicap it, but we'll get into that. We'll talk to Rob Cooper, extended conversation with him about his team and how he has been able to turn that group around. But let's hit our biggest stories for the week. And the big story for me is clear. 4-team sweep over the weekend. Illinois, Penn State, Michigan, Indiana had a 4-game sweep over the weekend. Let's start with the Illini. Illinois 13-3 now on the season. We thought the offense would get going. It has been going, but would get going once it got to Illinois Field, and did. Illinois sweeps Southern Illinois in those three games, that is. And how'd they do it? They did it with the bats.
At the plate, they were .352 team average in the 3 games, on base 40% of the time, and they slugged .495. Now a team average of .300 now, so bats come alive. They've even lost Zach Taylor out a few games here. Hopefully that's it after crashing into the wall last weekend. He has been a bright spot in that offensive lineup. But now 6 straight victories for the Illini, their 4th sweep already of the season and best start since 1989.
Penn State also 13-3 in terms of record. Those are the two teams at the top of the Big Ten. 4-game series was reduced to 3, but Penn State took all 3 of them against UMass Lowell. Now, UMass Lowell is 2-16.
Right.
They have played some teams, so maybe that's not fully indicative of that squad. But Penn State gets 2 walk-off victories on the final 2 days of that series, and that 13-3 record is the best start for the Nittany Lions since 1980,
yeah,
which is a while ago.
They've had 4 walk-off victories already this season, 6-0 in one-run games. Last year, they were 5-13 in one-run games. That's a huge turnaround.
Yeah, we'll talk to Cooper about that a little bit and those differences. I mean, that can make a huge difference for your season. You win those close games as compared to losing them. I mean, what is that? Like an 11-game swing, basically.
Yeah, that's from being in the bottom tier of the Big Ten to making the Big Ten tournament and making us, you know.
It's pretty good. Michigan 13-4, 3-game sweep of Manhattan. Outscored Manhattan 43-9 in 3 games.
That's good.
23-9 in game 1. Here we go. They only won game 3 by a 4-0 score, but the game ended in the 7th inning because Manhattan had to get home. They had already played the second half of the second game earlier in the day on Sunday. Manhattan had to skip town. So only a 4-0 win.
Yeah.
But, man, they really smoked them.
Now, we've been talking about Michigan's need for the bats to come alive. So was this their bats coming alive?
Yeah.
Or is Manhattan just bad? You know, I think we'll find out as we go along here. But it's possible that we've finally seen the Michigan offense come alive here.
A little bit better competition coming up for Michigan, and we'll talk about that in the lineup a little bit later on in the podcast. Indiana gets a 4-game sweep of Canisius. Canisius not very good either, 4-14. Indiana, though, improves to 11-8. Again, a huge offensive weekend for a Big Ten squad. The Hoosiers score 51 runs in 4 games. Another team, Indiana, that had not been hitting the ball very well, suddenly has a huge weekend, and those offensive statistics look a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, team average up 50 points in 1 weekend. They were last in the Big Ten last weekend with a team average of 206. That team average has now jumped to 256, which is 6th in the Big Ten. If you look at the home run leaders in the Big Ten, this caught my eye. Four of the five leaders in the Big Ten right now are from IU. Pohl, Gorski, Lloyd, and Fineman are four out of the top five home run leaders.
Look, if Indiana can pitch it like it has been and quit striking out and hit at 250 rather than 200 with that power.
Look out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, to raise it, though, 50 points in one weekend is pretty solid. We'll see if Indiana can keep that up. All right, four series, Drew, in the Big Ten this weekend. I think each one of them has a little bit of intrigue. The top one, in my opinion, is Minnesota and Penn State. Because of where the Gophers are right now and where Penn State is right now, you sort of want to know what is real. Like, what's the real story here? Is Minnesota really 5-12? Is Penn State really 13-3? Does that equate to, you know, Penn State being a team that we should consider as a top five finisher in the Big Ten? Should we consider Minnesota being a team that's going to need to do something to, you know, it was projected in the preseason to win, at least by the coaches, to win the conference. So that, to me, I'm really intrigued here to see. I would not expect one of these two teams to sweep. If one does, I think that would answer some questions.
It would absolutely.
But, you know, which of these two teams wins this series? It's over there in Happy Valley.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn so much from three games. You've got Minnesota coming off their first series victory of the year. You know, you've obviously got the Penn State story that we've talked about a bunch. And it's going to be fun to watch. Three games, and I have no idea still, 3 days before they start, I have no idea what is going to happen.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, Penn State's been good, and Minnesota has sort of, you know, they've had to make some changes. Max Meyer now in as a starting pitcher, and he was Big Ten Pitcher of the Week.
Yeah, and pitching well.
And pitching well, yeah. And, you know, that has been a change, so Minnesota trying to find itself a little bit. And as you mentioned, maybe a little bit better weekend for the Gophers last weekend. So a big opening weekend series in Happy Valley. Michigan State plays at Nebraska, at least.
Maybe.
Maybe. The Nebraska series last weekend was washed out. So, I mean, are they going to be able to play this thing? And I mean, look, it's a, like, natural disaster, is that what you call it, over there in the Great Plains, basically.
Right.
They've had so much rain and snow melting, and I mean, they just have major flooding issues. So that's, I mean, baseball is a little bit secondary to that problem, but you would like to see this series get played. I mean, it needs to be played. Is it going to stay in Nebraska? That's my question.
But they've got a couple of midweek games that are slated to be played at Nebraska Tuesday and Wednesday this week against Air Force. So there's been some changes to game times, I think, for at least one of those games. So we'll see how those play out. You'd think if they're able to play those, then they're going to be pretty safe for the weekend. But Creighton, nearby Creighton, 90 miles away, they've already moved their series. They were slated to play Maryland at Creighton, and that has now been moved to Maryland.
All right, so Iowa and Indiana, two teams, in my opinion, who have dark horse thoughts. Is that a good one? I don't know if you thought they were a phrase. Dark horse thoughts at a Big Ten championship that are sort of lingering there. I mean, you put Illinois and Michigan, I think, are your top two, but Indiana and Iowa have to feel like they are right there as well. So that'll be a big series down in Bloomington.
Yeah, I think it's two teams who think they've got a chance to win the Big Ten, and you want to get off to that good start. And it's a huge difference whether you're setting 2-1 after the first weekend or 1-2. So a good series there to really get a good start for either one of those teams.
Purdue and Northwestern, two teams with a combined 9 victories this season. What happens in Evanston?
Again, same similar thing. Who will get off to a good start in the Big Ten? For those teams that are, you know, at the bottom, it's really important to get these wins that you should win.
All right, award time. I can't tell you, Drew, how many people come up to me on the street and are talking big arm, big bat.
Right, yeah.
Everyone. Literally every person I talk to.
Sure.
And this was a little bit of, did we have more difficulty in sorting this one out, is that safe to say, this week than what we have in the previous 4 weeks on the podcast?
Yeah, I think we did, and I think it's a reflection of so many runs scored. We talked about Michigan, you know, outscoring Manhattan. Illinois put up a lot of runs. Indiana put up a lot of runs. So there was a lot of guys who, at least on the big bat side of things, had good lines.
All right, so are we going to read all these guys off? I have like right. 9 nominees for big bat Ryan Feinman, Zach DiZinzo, Connor Pohl, Jordan Brewer, Matt Lloyd, Ben Troike. I mean, Grant Van Scoy, Jordan Kazicki. There's a lot of guys there. So pick out, I mean, I don't know if we need to go through the stats on every one of these guys, but pick out a couple of them.
Well, we'll start with Ryan Feinman, a catcher from Indiana who was named Big Ten Player of the Week. He hit 600 on the weekend, 10 runs scored, 9 RBI, hit 3 home runs, a couple of doubles. So very good line and weekend for Feinman. Another Indiana guy, Matt Lloyd, had a couple of home runs, hit 444 on the weekend. Jordan Kazicki for Minnesota was 6 for 13, 3 runs scored, 9 RBI, a double, a triple, and 2 home runs. Jordan Brewer, finally for Michigan, a junior outfielder, just hit 375 on the weekend. He was 6 for 16, so a little lower than the other guys, but he had 6 runs scored, 12 RBI, 2 home runs, 3 home runs, excuse me, and 2 of those were grand slams. Walked a couple of times, so our big bat of the week will go to Jordan Brewer, mainly for those 2 grand slams and 12 RBI.
Yeah, 12 runs driven in over a weekend is pretty solid. The 2 Illinois guys you could throw in there, and well, and Troike and Van Scoy had good weekends for the Illini. But I, you know, in a complicated week, because a lot of guys had great offensive numbers. I mean, Feinman with 3 home runs, 10 runs scored, 9 driven in. Understandable. He slugged at 133 OPS, 2.
That's good.
Like 2.00. So, yeah, understandable why he was the Big Ten's honoree. We'll give it to Brewer, though, because of those 12 ribbies. So he is our big bat for this week. Big arm. What do we got here? Max Meyer, you mentioned him earlier, had a good start. Patrick Smith for Purdue looks solid. I think he might get a little bit more of an opportunity this week for the Boilermakers. Go through the list. Who do you like?
We like Grant Judkins, who has been in our list a couple of times from Iowa. He threw 8 innings, did not give up a run, struck out 5, 3 hits for Judkins. Tanner Gordon, Indiana, went 8 innings, 4 hits, a run, 10 strikeouts. You mentioned Max Meyer, 7 2/3 innings in his second career start. Just a hit, giving up 9 strikeouts.
And he was the Big Ten's honoree.
Right, yeah, Big Ten Pitcher of the Week for Meyer. Our first reliever, I think, has made an appearance in the nominees. Mason Mellott, Penn State. Over the weekend against UMass Lowell, he went 4 2/3 innings, gave up 5 hits. No runs, 5 strikeouts, and 2 walks. That was in 2 appearances. First appearance, he got the save. Second appearance, he got the victory for Penn State. But our big arm this week will go to Andrew Saufrank, a pitcher from Indiana against Canisius. He went 7 innings, just gave up 5 hits, a run. He struck out 14. That's 2 strikeouts per inning for Saufrank. And just walked a couple, so he will get awarded our big arm of the week.
Yeah, certainly a good performance by him against Canisius as Indiana gets the sweep there over the visitors. So Saufrank, our big arm for this week. All right, those are our big stories. The lineup, as we count down our 9 topics as we start to head into the Big Ten season, that's coming up in a couple of minutes on the podcast. But first, our conversation with Rob Cooper in his 6th year at Penn State. Quite the turnaround that he has helped engineer for the Nittany Lions. That's coming up next on the Big Baseball Podcast. Excited to bring in Rob Cooper in his 6th season as the coach at Penn State, and a coach who's got his team off to an outstanding start this year as well. The Nittany Lions now 13-3, coming off a sweep over the weekend. That's the Lions' best start since 1980, a crew that is playing very well. And, Rob, I have to admit, I did not predict this to happen. Maybe some of you guys did over there in Happy Valley, but it's been a really good start, and you've got your team playing really well.
Well, I appreciate it. First of all, thanks for having me on. You know, obviously, you know, it doesn't take a genius to look at the last 2 years to know that what we did the last 2 years was definitely – not high level baseball, not good enough. But you know, this group has worked really, really hard and
has really bought into what we're doing, and really, you know, the culture is so much better, and guys are playing hard. And, you know, I still think we have a long ways to go. I mean, we're finding ways to win, and I'm proud of our kids for how tough they're showing that they can be. But, you know, we still got to get better and better. But, you know, I think what it shows is it really just comes down to, if, number one, if a player chooses to have that confidence and belief in himself, that's the first step. And then if they, as a group, if they choose to buy in and believe that they're good enough and can win and can play at a high level and stick together, then, you know, you have an opportunity to get better and better as the year goes. And so, you know, that's where I think we're at right now. And just, we need to keep pushing.
You mentioned you're finding ways to win. You certainly are. Back-to-back walk-off wins in the sweep of UMass Lowell over the weekend. Your team now has four walk-off wins this season. Here's what's telling, I think, between last year to this year. Now, certainly, I think you have a little bit better talent this year, too. But last year, 5-13 in one-run games. And this year, so far, 6-0. It's like, you know, those games that – and maybe you learned something last year, your team did, perhaps, in losing some of those close games. But, you know, that makes a huge difference to your overall record when you're able to find ways to win those close games.
Well, so you know, we early in the fall or you know, right before we got started, so when I'm sitting down having meetings with the kids on in the first week of school, individual meetings, and I'm meeting with the returning players for, you know, in that time one-on-one, and I did bring that up. I said, now look, here's the difference between having a good year and obviously having a really bad year like we did, is, you know, here's these one-run games that we lost a lot of. Well, what is the difference there? Well, yeah, I mean, it helps to have good players. It helps to have good talent. But then again, I go back to that. If you in those instances, you know, don't think you're good enough, you know, whether it's confidence, whether it's, you know, I'm struggling, whatever it is, if you choose to compete, you know, if you don't have any, going back to it, if you don't have any confidence, you know, in yourself and as a player and as in the team, then it's really hard to stay fighting when things go bad and when there's that one run game and trying to get a bunt down or trying to make a pitch and you're trying to do too much. And, you know, what I hope we have learned from it is number one, we are, you know, our kids are good enough. They, you know, and some of it is youth and getting a year older and learning the league and talent and health. But, you know, another part of it is just choosing to, you know, hey, I make a bad pitch, so what? I got to get ready to make this pitch. And, you know, I think that's probably the biggest thing is, you know, our guys aren't overreacting to any one situation in the game. And I probably the thing I'm most proud of right now is, I think a perfect example of it is, you know, we got no hit by Duke on a Friday night down at IMG in Bradenton. And, you know, I've never coached a team that's been no hit. But the very next day, our guys came out and, I mean, they were ready to play and jumped on Duke early. And Duke came back and went up by three, and our guys stayed with it, and we won the game. So, you know, I think that shows you some mental toughness right there. And if you can do that pitch to pitch, you got a chance.
So Penn State and Illinois set atop the Big Ten standings. How does that sound to you?
Well, we haven't played a game yet, so I don't really put much – we haven't played a Big Ten game yet, so I don't really put much into it.
Doesn't sound bad, though, right?
No, hey, look, I mean, you know, I'm proud of where we're at right now. But our big goal is again, I know a lot of this is just is coach talk and coach speak. Yeah. But you know, we didn't set off at the beginning of the month to go, hey, let's go 13-3 or let's have a great month. It was let's have a great practice today. Let's play this game. Let's be competitive on this pitch in this game and not worry about tomorrow. And then all of a sudden you look up a month later and you're 13-3. And so really that's what we have to do is just take care of the right now and not get too caught up in what happened, you know, the last 30 days or what might happen tomorrow, you know. And again, I know that's real boring, but it really is the truth.
How much do you think more will you learn about your team these first couple of weeks of the Big Ten season? I ask that because, you know, you play Minnesota at home. You know, the Gophers are struggling a little bit this year, but we know about John Anderson and his crew and what they've done in the past and, you know, the near past with what that Minnesota team was able to do last season. They played some pretty good competition here during the spring as well. So you have the Gophers at home and then travel to a Purdue squad that's young and still trying to find itself a little bit. How much more do you think you'll learn about your crew and where it sets at the start of this Big Ten season, maybe after those first couple of weekends?
Well, I think, I mean, you just, you know, in a lot of ways, you kind of nailed it as far as, you know, who we're getting ready to play in the first nine games. We're playing, you know, three teams that were in regionals last year, and Minnesota, you know, there's a lot of kids on that club that were in a super regional. There's a lot of kids on the Indiana team that played in a regional. Purdue, same thing. So, you know, you're going to be playing teams, two of them on the road, that, you know, are used to winning, that believe that they can win, that know, a lot of those guys know what it takes to win. So we're going to play, you know, we're going to get tested. And again, that's why I go back to, we need to just really just take care of ourselves. And you know, if we try to all of a sudden say, okay, now that we're in the Big Ten, we're going to change, we're going to do this. Well, then, you know, I think that's when you start putting too much pressure on, you know, hey, this game means more, that game means more. I mean, you got to get to the point where every single game, the way you approach it, the way you play it, the way you, you know, prepare for it is the exact same. Because if you do that, then, you know, you're not making it a bigger deal than it is. Like, you know, a real good example of that is this past Friday night is our first home game. Our kids were excited to really to play at home. I mean, really excited. And you know, I know you look at UMass Lowell's record and people are like, okay, well, it's UMass Lowell and you had three tight games. Well, you know, one, they played some really good people, so their kids are battle tested.
Mm-hmm.
and they competed, but where it kind of ties into what we were just talking about is our guys were so excited to play that I felt like we were too pumped up. Like I felt like we tried to play that game on too high of emotional level. But it was great. Like we were able to learn from it and be like, hey, like that's an example of, you know, the emotions were good. It was it for a positive reason, but we got to bring it back down to where we can play this game at our level. And, you know, that's an important step. So going into the conference, you know, I'm not too worried about the struggles of Minnesota. John's been doing it long enough that it's probably all part of his master plan you know, it'll be a heck of a test, but you know, I'm kind of excited to see how it plays out.
You brought in a dozen guys during the off season, and some of those guys have really contributed pretty well for you, it seems. Especially, you know, Gavin Homer, I think at the top of your order has been maybe a stabilizing force there and a good table setter. And look, the dude's name is Homer, right? I mean,
yeah.
When you were recruiting him, you had to be like, well, we got to get this guy. And then, you know, Ryan Ford, a freshman, comes in and gets one of the walk-off hits for you over the weekend. Have you been pretty pleased with, you know, how guys like Homer and Ford and some of those other newcomers, I know the backup catcher as well, have been able to come in and perform so well for you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's been a huge thing. I mean, you know, it's funny, Gavin Homer is, you know, we saw somebody sent a videotape of him in junior college and just, you know, it was one of the few players I've ever recruited off a videotape where the guy just completely jumped off the screen with his passion and energy and how hard he played. And, you know, we saw him play and just really liked him because we felt like he was a baseball player and loved to play. And one of the things that we really needed to do was really change the culture. I mean, we started it a year ago, really trying to change it. And we needed more guys like that loved to play, that weren't excuse makers, that competed.
Yeah.
And he's just, it's infectious when he does it. So him and, you know, Ryan Ford, who is a true freshman, Justin Williams, who's a true freshman, playing some third now. And, you know, you mentioned Jacob Padilla, the catcher, you know, those guys have done a heck of a job. So, you know, I think it's just the energy that it brings, the passion that it brings. And then also, you know, I do think that there's something to be said for, you know, we had some guys that whether it was, you know, they decided not to play anymore or they transferred somewhere else. I mean, every place isn't for everybody. But, you know, I think sometimes if you're not happy at a place, you can really impact the culture in a negative way too. So, you know, while I have no ill will against anybody that's not here anymore, I just think that when you get guys, it doesn't matter where you are. You can be or what you're doing. If you're not happy with doing what you're doing, where you're doing it, it makes it tough. So I think the addition of some quality guys, some guys that made some choices to move on, I think it's just, you know, it's kind of firmed up our culture and our togetherness in the locker room.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially in a sport like baseball, you're playing so many games, you're on the road, you're on long bus trips, and all that stuff, in my opinion, matters a ton.
Well, and it's also, it's hardened. You know, I mean, I think obviously baseball's hard regardless because it is a grind and you're playing so many games. But when you're playing it up north in the conference that we play at and travel early and then you get home and the temps are cold and you have to play doubleheaders and sometimes you play three games in less than 24 hours, you know, that you have to have guys that really, really love to play, not guys that just say they like to play. And again, I'll make sure, like, no ill will to anybody who's not on our roster that was last year. It, you know, you have to be happy where you're at. And so, I mean it more from the kids that we brought in are showing that. Ryan Ford, Justin Williams, Jacob Bedia, Gavin Homer. And then you've also found some guys that returned this year that have refound that belief that are, or, mm-hmm. you know, and I really love to play. Or more importantly, they realized that they could choose how they reacted to certain situations. So again, you know, hey, we got to get up early and play this doubleheader because the weather's coming. And so, you know, you played Friday night at 6:30 and you're showing up the park at 8:00 to play, you know, an 11:00 doubleheader. You know, you got to have guys that really like to play. And so sometimes it's just how you view it. And so a lot of our returning guys have made that choice to really buy in and compete and embrace that kind of stuff. And, you know, again, I'm proud of them because what it shows is at the end of the day, it's their choice and it's they have the power to do that. So that it's pretty cool.
Talking to Rob Cooper, the coach at Penn State, on the Big Baseball Podcast, a production of 101.7 The Hammer. Hey, it's a little ridiculous we've made it this far through this interview without talking about your pitching staff. That group has been good, to say the least. I mean, just looking at the numbers, you can tell what it's been able to do, a 3.51 ERA. And you've done that without Eric Mock the last couple of weeks, but have had, you know, some pretty good fill-in, you know, weekend starts there as well. What has made that group as good it has been here through the first 16 games of the season?
Well, there's obviously a couple things to it. I mean, first of all, you know, Josh Newman, our pitching coach, is in his second year now. So our guys really understand, you know, the way he coaches them, what he expects of them. He has a better feel for them and how to coach them. And he's done a phenomenal job. You know, I was lucky enough to hire Sean Moore, who was the volunteer at Iowa last year, as our director of player development. So there's a lot of things that he's instituted and put into place for the coaches through technology, for the hitters and the pitchers. And then, you know, really, again, I go back to at some point you got to make a choice as a player. Like, you know, am I going to let, you know, am I going to be a pitcher on the mound that, hey, I got to make a perfect pitch because I'm giving this kid way too much credit at the plate, or shoot, I just gave up a hit. Now, am I going to let that hit, that last hit, am I going to hold on to it for the next four, five, six, however many pitches, and then it turns into another bad hitter and another hitter and another hitter. So at some point, a player has got to make a choice to, hey, I'm good enough. Whether I, you know, we have this saying that you give me 100% of your 50%. I stole that from Ken Revizza, the great sports psychologist who, you know, passed away, unfortunately, about a year ago. And Ken, you know, used to talk about it all the time where, you know, instead of worrying about the percent that you don't have, you know, instead of going, man, I don't have my curveball today. Well, all right, let's go find a way to compete with what you do have. And so I give our players, our pitchers, all of our guys, but our pitchers, a lot of credit for doing that. And you're seeing a guy like Dante Biazzi who works extremely, extremely hard, is super competitive, loves to play, baseball junkie, and you're seeing it all start to come together for him. You're seeing a guy like Bailey Dees who, even through the year we had last year, you watched him progress and be coached and put his head down and get better. And by the end of the year, he's in the starting rotation, and he has a great summer working hard. And it just, you know, he keeps going. Eric Mock's doing a great job. And Eric Mock's fine. He's just a little nicked up and too early in the season for us to try to push him through anything. And then, you know, Connor Larkin, we had, you know, Mason Malott's done a great job out of the bullpen. So has Tyler Shingledecker. And, you know, we still got some guys in the bullpen that maybe haven't touched the ball as much as we would like. But we think that with time that they're going to be guys that can really help us too. So, again, I think it just goes back to those guys individually saying, here's what I can control. It's my mindset. I'm going to really be good at that, and then I'm going to go from there. And then Josh and those guys have done a great job coaching them up.
I think Malott's been fantastic for you. I mean, in baseball these days, It's so beneficial, isn't it, to have a guy that you can throw out there twice in a weekend in various different roles and have him just grind guys out. I mean, to be 4-0 in 8 appearances this early in the season with a 1 ERA is pretty impressive, and it's got to be hugely beneficial to your squad.
I mean, it is, and again, it's a guy that just loves – another guy that just loves to compete. And, last year his biggest problem was kind of just that – what we said. He always had a pretty good fastball with some sink and some run, and he has a wipeout slider at times. But when you're trying to make a perfect pitch, that fastball flattens out, that slider doesn't play as well. And so he was kind of – even though he had a decent year last year, he was kind of up and down, and he's really figured out kind of being that attack guy that he was in high school – going back to that, and he's very resilient. He like I said, he likes to have the ball, so he just wants to pitch. He's one of those kids that I think if guys played pickup baseball, he and Dante would be out there being like the first two guys to show up and play pickup baseball. You know what I mean? Just that's kind of the way he is. So it is. It's a huge thing to have. It's kind of a Swiss Army knife for us. We can use him at any point whenever we need him.
Hey Rob, I appreciate your time. It's been great to watch you guys get it going a little bit this year. I think the Big Ten will be exciting to watch. We're looking forward to getting it started this weekend, and appreciate you coming on the show. We'll see you in a couple weeks, too, when you and your guys come over here to Alexander Field to visit the Boilermakers.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you guys doing this podcast and putting the word out about the Big Ten baseball. It's a good conference. Great conference.
Kyle and Drew here on the Big Baseball Podcast, a production of 101.7 The Hammer. All right, time for our lineup, Drew. The 9 topics we're looking at headed into what is the start for many of the Big Ten season. Topic number 1, leading off our lineup today, Penn State. Of course, the Nittany Lions. We just heard from Rob Cooper, his squad 13-3. I do think, Drew, it's worth pointing out the opponent's combined record, just 44-62. Now, what does that mean exactly? I don't know. Some of these teams that they have played are not very good, so the record might be inflated a little bit. Now, they do have some good victories in there as well, so that's equally worth noting. But as you look at who Penn State has played here, Monmouth, as of right now, a 5-11, Fairfield 4-10. Now, Duke, Penn State did take one of the three against the Dukies, who are 12-8. UCF, Penn State took 2 of 3. The Knights are 14-6. Pitt was a midweek game, 7-11. Penn State got the victory. And UMass Lowell, not very good, 2-16. So 44-62, the combined record of the opponents of Penn State.
Yeah, I think you look at playing Duke well. I think you look at playing Pitt well and UCF, of course. We'll talk about RPI a little bit later in this podcast. But RPI takes into consideration record and strength of schedule. And Penn State's sitting at 54 right now. That's not terrible.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. They've got definitely room for improvement. But again, we'll learn so much from this Minnesota series they have coming up this weekend.
All right, topic number 2. Wait a minute. Connor McCaffrey's a basketball player.
Yeah.
He's playing for Dad's basketball team in the NCAA tournament. But not only that, he's playing a little baseball too. Got in a couple games over the weekend.
Friday night, Connor McCaffrey suits up for the basketball team. Who he has played 31 games for this season. He averages about 19 minutes a game, 4.5 points a game for the Hawkeyes on the basketball court. Saturday, hops in his car with his mother, drives to where
they lost late on Friday night to Michigan.
Yeah. Hops in the car, drives to the game with his mom, gets in the game in game number 1 of the doubleheader. He's 0-for-1 with a walk. So we got 2 at-bats, pinch hitting. Late in game number 1, got the start in game 2, went 3-for-4 with a couple of doubles. So his first collegiate start, played very well offensively.
Yeah, no doubt.
And now he'll focus back on basketball because as those games were going on, Iowa was being selected into the postseason tournament, March Madness.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, he's going to make a big impact for the baseball Hawkeyes as he has for the basketball team. I'm sure it's an interesting for Rick Heller there. He wants Iowa basketball team to do well. I'm sure he's a team player. Also wants McCaffrey, I'm sure, on the diamond as well. McCaffrey, not a traditional baseball two-way player. He's playing two different sports. But let's talk in topic number 3 about two-way players in the Big Ten, because there are several who had some pretty good weekends and have had some pretty good starts to this season.
Yeah, we've talked about Max Meyer a bunch for Minnesota, as he was a freshman last year coming out of the bullpen, led the Big Ten in saves with 16, started this year in the bullpen for Minnesota, but they've recently moved him to the starting lineup, and he has pitched extremely well. This past weekend was obviously Big Ten Pitcher of the Week, but also hit for himself. 3-for-3 in that game he started on the mound, a run scored, and 3 RBI.
Yeah.
So overall, a 1.17 ERA for Meyer on the season and a 3.27 batting average. So very good on both ends there. Grant Judkins, who has pitched for Iowa this season, got the game-winning two-run double in the bottom of the ninth in game number one there for Iowa, a two-run scoring double to win the game. Also pitched in game number two of that series. And then Matt Lloyd's another guy in the Big Ten who excels from both sides. 3.03 average for Indiana, 4 home runs on the season. He's just appeared in 3 games so far this year, so pitching a little down, but 4 innings pitched, has not given up an earned run, and 4 strikeouts for Lloyd.
And always impressive, those guys have those tools at their disposal. It's nice to see. Okay, topic number 4, hitting cleanup for us today. Nebraska. We talked a little bit earlier about the Cornhuskers and their schedule with the weather conditions over there in Nebraska and in that area. So let's see, the games against New Mexico State were weathered out. So we did not get to see New Mexico State's offense, which is impressive, to say the least. A midweek game against North Dakota State postponed. And I mean, the hope is that they'll play on this day, Tuesday, because, you know, it would be 9 days since their last game. But, man, is Nebraska going to be able to play these games? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, I hope so. The good part is that they have not canceled Tuesday's game or Wednesday's game. They've moved the time, which means they're hopeful that they'll be able to get it in. It does worry me that Creighton has already moved their series this weekend. Nebraska slated to host Michigan State. So they got to play baseball, you know. Not playing since March 10th is a long time off.
It's hard to go that long without games and baseball because you want guys to be fresh, but you also pitchers fall out of rhythm and they're used to, you know, pitching on certain schedules. That's difficult on a team. All right, hitting number 5, the Boilermakers of Purdue. Okay, 2 things here. Purdue managed to win a game in a series in which it only scored in 1 inning.
Yeah.
That seems tremendously difficult to do. So maybe on one hand, Purdue should feel good that it won a game against Jacksonville State. But, man, offensively, the Boilermakers just really struggling. They're getting pretty good pitching.
They are.
But they're just not hitting the ball. And to score only one time in one frame in 27 innings of baseball over the weekend is not good.
Yeah, scored 9 runs in the 5th inning on Saturday, won that game 9-5. They were 6-for-30 as a team both Friday and Sunday. So they just hit 200 each day and a couple of walks. But you mentioned the pitching staff. That's the bright spot for this Boilermaker team. They struck out 32 batters over the weekend. They struck out more than 30 last weekend as well. So 2 straight weekends with 30 or more strikeouts, which is good. But they got to get that offense going. They got to figure it out.
Purdue had some pretty high expectations for the season. It has not reached that level. And just offensively, they've got to be able to get it going because they're pitching it okay right now. The defense has been sort of hit or miss. But those things have to be perfect if you're not going to hit the ball. And Purdue hasn't been that as of yet. All right, topic number 6, first series win for the Gophers as Minnesota took 2 of 3 from Long Beach State, including a 19-6 win on Sunday at Pepperdine on Tuesday and then at Penn State. So I'm not a geographical wizard here, Drew, but they're in California, and then all the way to Penn State. Okay.
Yeah, let's run through their schedule, travel schedule, just real quick. They start the season at Arizona. So you're going Arizona, back to Minnesota, to Texas, back to Minnesota, to North Carolina, back to Minnesota, Seattle, back to Minnesota, California, back to Minnesota, and then Penn State. That's incredible.
Yeah.
over the country. They're on the West Coast. They're on the East Coast.
Which leads me to wonder if Minnesota's record is really indicative of what the Gophers are.
We've said this already.
I know.
We will learn a lot this weekend.
All right, some out-of-conference series that we should talk about here in topic number 7. Maybe the biggest one of those is Michigan traveling to Lubbock to play Texas Tech, the 19th-ranked Red Raiders. I think that's an interesting matchup for the Wolverines. Like to see those top two pitchers face off against a good offensive team and see if maybe Michigan can make a little noise here in their last out-of-conference series.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. Again, Michigan's bats came alive last weekend, outscoring Manhattan 48-10. So we'll see if they continue offensively. We've talked about how that's been their struggle this season. But ranked again, Michigan's ranked again. So a couple of ranked opponents, 23rd ranked Michigan against 19th ranked Texas Tech.
Topic number 8, a perfect game, and it's on the wrong side of things.
Yeah.
Maryland got perfect gamed over the weekend. Jake Kuchmanner for East Carolina on Sunday, 27 up and 27 down against the Terps.
Yeah, you should see Jake Kuchmanner's line on the season, at least his last three starts. Last three starts, 22 and two-thirds innings pitched, one hit given up. Two starts ago, he was close to a no-hitter. He pitched 8 2/3 of no-hit baseball, gave up a hit. And then last start, he just pitched 5 2/3, but no hits in that ball game.
Wow.
So unbelievable three-game stretch here for the East Carolina pitcher.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, to be able to throw a perfect game like that against a Big Ten squad, that's a good effort. All right, topic number 9. Let's hit this quickly here as we wrap up our podcast for the week. The RPI through 5 weeks, something we're going to watch here as we get into the Big Ten season because it will factor in once NCAA tournament time comes about. Illinois tops the list, at least according to D1Baseball.com, at 7, which is really good. What else is notable there about the RPI for this week?
Yeah, two Big Ten teams in the top 50, 6 in the top 100. Following up Illinois, we've got Nebraska at 34, Michigan and Penn State at 53, and 54, respectively. IU at 61 and Iowa at 75. So I'm sure those Michigan, Penn State, IU, Iowa guys who are in the 50 to 100 range really want to get bumped up if Purdue wants to get, you know, 3 to 5 teams in the tourney.
It will help the whole league that Illinois is in the top 10 in the RPI and has had such a good non-conference schedule and won all those games. That's certainly beneficial. Nebraska as well, and you mentioned those other teams. So once we get into conference play, maybe should be able to build up that RPI a little bit for some of those squads. All right, that's our lineup for this week. Good show, brother.
Great show. Looking forward to the Big Ten season finally starting.
Yeah, no doubt. We thank everybody for listening, the retweets, comments, giving us some feedback, too, as far as reviews on iTunes and all of that. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot. It's been a good few weeks for us, and glad everybody is listening as well. All right, that'll do it for us for the Big Baseball Podcast. Special thanks to Rob Cooper, Penn State's head coach, for coming on the show today. We do appreciate the time that the coaches are giving us around the league. That has been absolutely fantastic. All right, for Drew Charters, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is the Big Baseball Podcast, a production of 101.7 The Hammer.